I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello you, Pete Donaldson here with another advert. I'm pausing the football fun to tell you about a brand new product. You didn't ask for this, but it's happening, so strap yourselves in, all right? You've got a body. Have you ever considered cutting bits off it with our new razors, or resting it on a mattress, or making it watch some telly, or filling it with booze? But only the kind of razors, mattresses, tellies and booze that we say you should use. Here's how to do all of those things right now. Getting over to a website, www.etc. Here's what code to type in, ramble, at the checkout. And oh god, adverts are so boring. But, my friends, you've wanted this for such a long time. We've listened and we've been working ever so hard to bring it to you. You can live an ad-free Football Ramble Daily existence if you head on over to patreon.com/footballrambledaily. Sign up and you won't hear another advert. So that's less of me, a confirmed sociopath, telling you, a normal person, to buy stuff. patreon.com/footballrambledaily for ad-free Football Ramble Daily action. And now, let's get back to the fun. I'll probably say something rude like bum in a bit, so look out for that.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. My name is Marcus C. Speller.
My name remains Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm P.P. Donaldson.
We'll be right back. Hello, everybody. It's Friday and the weekend is just that far away. Or that close, rather. How are you, boys? Is everybody keeping well? Is everybody looking forward to the football? Because we've got it again, PT.
We're all Bundesliga hipsters now, baby.
Yeah, it wasn't just a one-off. We've got football tonight, Luke.
We have.
Friday night football.
I know, and it's a belter as well. The original fixture between these two, or not the original, but the first fixture of the season between these two was dramatic. It's going to be good, even though there's not going to be any fans. It's still going to be great. Andy Brassel, your friend and mine, Marcus, and your friend Jim, and your friend Pete, and your friend producer Charlie.
Are Jim and Andy friends?
Yeah, they are sometimes. I mean, Jim's a little bit of a problematic character, isn't he? But I mean, mm-hmm. Andy's very patient. So
true.
Listen, Andy was at the first game between Union and Hertha. I think it was the first clash between these two sides in the top flight. And it was a dramatic game. Union won with an 87th minute penalty, and it was scenes. And we didn't necessarily, I think, pick up on it at the time, chiefly because it was around the time we were on tour, so we didn't talk about it very much. But it's well worth going back and listening to that at the match app, because tonight is going to be a fantastic affair, and it'll be fascinating actually to see how the game transpires in light of the fact there's going to be no fans. Because last time they played at the Olympia Stadion, it was in the second tier and there was about 75,000 people there. Now, we've all been to the Olympia Stadion and it certainly wasn't that full, was it? So I bet it was quite an atmosphere with that amount of people in it.
I seem to recall that in the last match, a goal was scored with an assist from a bum. So if there's more of that, please. We can't have the flares and we can't have the big old tifos and stuff, but I'd very much like a goal assisted by a bot. That would be ticking a lot of boxes for me.
It's all you can ask for in these troubled times.
Ticking the bot box.
Yeah. It's 1 point separates the two. Only one place separates it. Peter, you're now our resident Hertha Berlin fan. You must be really, really nervous about
in football, I'll do like the underdog. And we all got awarded these teams. And I obviously got awarded the team that I... No, I didn't know. They got chosen by a listener, didn't they?
They didn't have to be, Pete.
They got chosen by... No, they didn't have to be. No, but I'm very easily led.
No, I definitely chose my own Borussia Dortmund. I chose my own pal.
Peter, do you not understand? When it comes to the listeners, right, it's only advice. So when they say, go and watch this two-hour, three-quarter film...
It doesn't form the basis of a criminal defence. How many more times? Yeah.
Can we hurry this ramble along? Because I've got to get to a Bitcoin blockchain TED talk that the man is giving me. I really should have gone for basically not Bayern. Hertha, because I've seen Hertha play and I didn't enjoy them at all. I didn't like the where their stadium was. It's unhelpful. I think I probably should have chosen Union Berlin. So, but I'm stuck with Hertha. They had a great win at the weekend. So come on, you Hertha boys.
Yeah.
You chaotic bastards.
You guys, this always bears repeating. The Union Stadium is called the stadium at the old Forester's house.
Nice.
Lovely.
If you can't enjoy that, I've got nothing for you. You're not going to enjoy the rest of the show, so don't bother listening.
A cottage.
Yeah. I love, honest, Pete, that you've been supporting Hertha Berlin for a week and you've now admitted that that's essentially by accident and that you should have chosen their local rivals. So you will have alienated their actual fans so quickly.
I feel like one of those kind of American emailers who always email in going, I've chosen West Ham. I want to support Tottenham now. Loads of emails like that. But I'm stuck.
Just bloody change. I mean, you said that you didn't want to support the underdog, yet you're supporting Union Berlin, who are just 1 point and one place away from them, or the other way around. So it's not exactly a six, you know.
I mean, Hertha versus Union, you would say in the grand scheme of things, where their footballing history, Union are very much the underdogs between them and Hertha.
Yeah, and also Hertha have had €250 million pumped into their club recently. So, I mean, it's fair enough.
Is Berlin possibly the most underachieving city in world football?
Madrid.
Do you know what I mean? You would think that...
Bristol?
Birmingham.
I would say Berlin's probably got more of a sort of global reputation.
What about the beautiful cathedral city of Exeter?
I'm going to stick up for Exeter because I remember that 0-0 draw they got at Old Trafford in the Cup with my former
boss. Fair point,
actually.
You've done me there.
Mm. Would David Bowie write an album in Exeter?
No, but both Berlin sides are in the top flight, whereas the Bristol teams, they're not. And I mean, we love Bristol, we love it there. So come on, Bristol.
I love Bristols.
Yeah, but I mean, it is a major European city in a way that Bristol isn't. Again, as much as I love Bristol, it's you just think such a major city would have better teams, frankly.
Yeah, that is a fair point, I have to say, Jim.
Yeah, I'm sorry for trying to make a sensible point now that the football's back.
Spoken like the true fan of the FC Souls.
More on them later, presumably.
Whoa, sadly. Well, it's more of an update, really. But Jim, your Bayer Leverkusen boys are playing... yes, they're playing Gladbach. It's a tasty one. It's third versus fifth.
Yeah, they had a good win on Monday.
They did. High Havertz he's got to be your favourite player at the moment. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, his second goal was very, very easy, but he looks like a sort of luxury, doesn't he? Like an efficient luxury, one of those players where it's like he's clearly a bit special. There's something about the way he carries himself and just his touch is just like, yeah, this guy's going to be a superstar. And I'm delighted that we have got him. genuinely watching the game though, I did feel a little bit more invested than I otherwise would have been, just because I've nailed my colours to that mast. So maybe, you know, as the months fly by. And the Project Restart keeps getting pushed back. Maybe I'll be like a proper dyed-in-the-wool Bayer Leverkusen supporter by the end of it. But you're right, Marcus. This has this shows a lot of promise, this game, doesn't it? Two good teams from what we've seen it so far.
Don't get too attached to Havertz because he's a delightful player, of course.
Yeah.
I was going to say it reminds me slightly of Kaká, but then that might just be me. Mm. You know,
no, I think that's absolutely spot on.
He's got the glide.
Yeah,
it's the glide. Himself, yeah. I love the play with the glide. But I was just going to say, Jim, careful, because in 10 minutes he'll be off to Bayern. So don't get too attached. Yeah.
Oh, also, no, I think what could possibly happen here, Jim, in a complete crossing over of the Jim Campbell Venn diagram, I can see Kai Havertz being linked with a move for someone like Chelsea, then bidding, say, 50 million, that being rejected, and then Arsenal coming in with, say, a £42 million bid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lowballers.
Yeah, they don't need him though. They've got Ozil. That's awesome.
Imagine Ozil's Fortnite score right now. Wow, it must be.
Oh my god!
Oh god!
It must be e-sport worthy. He must be. He could just move straight into like a Korean or Chinese Overwatch team.
That's probably why all of London's Wi-Fi is so bad at the moment. Ozil eating it up on Fortnite.
Oh dear. Well, Luke, your lads, Borussia Dortmund in second, are playing Wolfsburg, of course, second versus sixth. You need to win this, Luke, to keep the pressure on Bayern.
I know, I'm absolutely beside myself here. Yeah. I cannot tell you how excited I am. Wolfsburg had a win last time out as well.
Yeah,
but Borussia Dortmund found it, I mean, we spoke about this, didn't we, a little bit earlier in the week, but Borussia Dortmund found it fairly easy against Schalke. And as I've said in a rather boring way before, it depends who handles the conditions the best. And so it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. I'm really excited, though, for the Bern derby. I'm excited for that Leverkusen game. I think you're right to highlight that one, because that should be a belter as well. Ultimately, I'm just pleased that my beloved Borussia Dortmund, my first love, the team that I probably, you know, came out of the womb thinking about, are playing again. You know, to me, it's everything's right with the world.
Yeah,
I mean, as a youngster, you were known as the blonde wall, weren't you?
I was, and also when I was born, I did look quite black and yellow.
Yeah, I would say he's more of a Roman Berkey.
Yeah, possibly.
Did you used to call each other Berks when you were kids? Berks?
I don't know what that means.
He wasn't in Berkshire; he's in Hampshire.
Yeah, because Berk is actually slang for the baddest word, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Berkshire. It's Berkshire Hunt, isn't it?
That's the right one?
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
I don't know why I said it like that. That's the right one.
You have selected the correct word. You sound like a VHS board game from back in the 90s.
I have selected
the right word. Go to page 503.
Yes, I'm a bit weird today because I didn't sleep properly at all last night. I was having like a sort of a hypnagogic dream, which is one of those dreams where you're half awake and half asleep. And basically, Catherine Tate kept trying to trick me into buying Bournemouth, and it was really annoying because she wouldn't stop. And I had to say, I don't know how to run a football
club. Buy Bournemouth, Jim.
Wouldn't leave me alone. Stop. Now you're doing it. Stop it.
Buy Bournemouth. It's a waking nightmare. Buy Bournemouth.
Gentlemen, let's move on, for crying out loud, to the Premier League.
You can't say, let's move on, ladies and gentlemen, and then take a massive pause.
Yeah. Now you're like the atmosphere guy.
The Premier League players are returning to train in summer, saying that they have concerns over this. And, of course, restarting the league is going to prove a little bit controversial. A handful of players have tested positive, and some have opted out of training sessions thus far. Although Harry Maguire said he felt very safe after they did this coronavirus tests, and everyone's been following the rules at Manchester United. So without dwelling on this too much, because, again, it's always a moving, fluid situation, and people are going to give their opinions, of course. It's not proving as perhaps as smooth as the Premier League would like with players now coming out, but it's understandable that the players have got their concerns.
Yeah, they have. But, I mean, the positive tests have been quite low, given how many players have been tested. And I don't know if you've seen the official protocols going around, but apparently corner flags, the balls themselves, cones, goalposts, and even playing surfaces are going to be disinfected after each training session. And obviously the squads are broken up into small groups and they have time slots with different coaches. So I think when Harry Maguire was talking about how safe he feels, it's for good reason. They're taking it very, very seriously, and they've been very, very regimented about it. So if you are going to bring it back, this is the way to do it, and sort of credit to them for being so thorough. So I guess it remains to be seen how that will turn out, but they are at least handling it well.
Yeah. Well, apparently Championship clubs have agreed to finish the season with a possible return on the 20th of June. They'd ideally like to finish the season by the 31st of July, which would give time for the playoffs. But Leeds United are one of the clubs who are at the sort of forefront of this, of course, going for that elusive promotion. And their chief exec, Angus Kinnear, has said it'd be a national embarrassment if the Prem and Championship didn't complete their seasons. I love it. Ramp it up.
Does this sort of break, obviously, a well-extended break than what you'd usually be used to? Does this break really fall into sort of Leeds' hands? Because everybody talks about their team obviously falling to pieces by the end because they're all exhausted. Does this kind of like really help them out, giving them a couple of months off?
It's a really good point, actually. I didn't consider that. If we're going to be cynical about it, and at the risk of perhaps sounding a touch insensitive, it could work to their advantage from a footballing point of view, couldn't it? But
no other point of views.
No, not on this show. but the idea of testing players and finding the positive tests and getting them isolated and everything is part of the point of testing players, right? And testing the staff and getting to a position where you can say, right, we are now as a league kind of COVID free, and so that gives us the platform and the basis by which to continue. It happened in Germany not too long before they restarted, and they were able to take measures. I mean, that's the point of it. The Championship obviously has fallen into line and wants to go alongside the Premier League. League Two looks like it wants to do what the National League has done, which is we discussed earlier in the week, and League One appears to be kind of in the middle. League One is the problematic division at the moment, I would say, because they are split down the middle and they don't have really the finances to push on with no football for too much longer. And then if you throw into the mix that next season, at least for a portion of it, whenever that is, there's probably going to be no fans. It's a really difficult, bleak situation. We're going to end up with things like salary caps and budgetary caps on teams and the Premier League and the moneyed parts of the football pyramid in this country are going to have to start. There's going to have to be some kind of bailout, and then will that come along with some conditions and a land grab by the top flight, as I think Pete was saying a week or two ago? Will teams have to rely on young players a lot more? Well, ECCC has fucked a lot of that up for a lot of its smaller teams. So it's a lot to be sorted out. But if we just focus on the football, then I think the testing is the main part of it. But it is really important to stress that to get the Championship and League One back, it's going to cost it to just for the testing, it's going to cost in the hundreds of thousands of pounds. And League One's main income is match day income, it's match day revenue, and that's not going to be there. So I do think there's an element of the head being buried in the sand about this. The Premier League is probably, notwithstanding all the health stuff, which is obviously really important and is the main concern. But if you park that to one side, from a football from a financial point of view, the Premier League will probably be fine, won't it? It's those other teams and then lower down the pyramid that we should be more worried about, I think.
Mm. Yeah. A friend of mine was chatting, saying that why not just write off next season, not completely, but bear with me, so we have time to finish this season. Now, this financially could be a ridiculous idea, but he said basically all the chat is to try and squeeze in the end of this season, and I understand that. But don't have a time limit on this season, and then next season almost like have like a sort of a would-be sort of apertura or clausura, as they do in Mexico and Argentina. You can have cup fixtures and everything. So next season becomes like, right, well, we'll do whatever we can do next season, but don't try and squeeze in this season too much. And I thought, well, it's an idea that I haven't heard that much. Could be good reason for that, because maybe financially.
But you've not been reading the email box, Marcus. we get it every week, mate. Yeah.
The same reason that football is coming back, basically, I haven't had time to think about it, but would be the answer is just money. The broadcaster rights have been paid for by the broadcasters, and they want their product for their money, which on one level, I suppose, is fair enough. But part of the reason, cynical people would say the main reason that football's coming back is to do with money. Because, and I, to be honest, I do understand that, because it's a huge, I mean, if you take Germany, for example, 50,000 jobs depend on football. So it's a lot of people's livelihoods. And so I understand the desire to get it back. But I just don't think that idea could be workable, chiefly because there wouldn't be, would there be enough games to be broadcast? Would it still count as a full season? I mean,
yeah,
it's interesting.
Well, true enough. I mean, for those of us who want the football to return, whether it be because of sort of finances or just purely because we'd like football to return, we can rest assured that Robbie Savage is in our corner.
I'm a journalist now.
Yes. Somebody want to talk us through this? Because I'm sort of still rather bemused by it. Pete, did you see Robbie Savage on the news?
I didn't, actually. I don't know. I'm completely in the dark, to be honest, Marcus. It was in the running order, right, but I just couldn't find any reference to it.
What happened is, he in his capacity as Daily Mirror columnist, he was allowed into the daily briefing to ask a question about grassroots football. And even Matt Hancock himself, he always seems surprised with most stuff that's going on, doesn't he? But he was very surprised to see that a question was coming from a Robbie Savage next, and it turned out to be the Robbie Savage.
Yeah. Baffling. What did Savage ask? Do we know? Because I saw this like on Twitter, and I just assumed that there was somebody who looked like Robbie Savage. My brain wouldn't even entertain the idea.
It was about the idea that for kids at grassroots level, some sports like golf, I think tennis, and maybe even cricket is allowed to come back sooner, and grassroots football isn't. And I think Robbie was making, I didn't see it specifically, but I read about it after the fact. I think he was making, to be honest, an altogether reasonable point, which is that, you know, football is the most popular sport in the country and is participated by more than any other kids. So why is it not going to be able to come back as well, and what the pros, what the time frame is, and et cetera, et cetera. But I think it just got flat battered away by Matt Hancock.
Good old Hanny. Now, gentlemen, the proposed controversial takeover of Newcastle United has reportedly been given the green light by the Premier League. Not everyone has reported that just yet, but that could happen even today. Of course, there's been much speculation as to who would take charge of the team and which players will be signed. And Steve Bruce has come out this week and said, I would bloody love to see it happen, and I'd love to be a part of it.
He's already in the job, and he's talking himself out of it. That's what I like about it.
He will be a part of it. It's not a very big one.
Is there a little Keegan reference in that? I would love it.
Maybe.
Is he trying to endear himself further?
Oh, dear. Well, he went on to say that he'd back himself. Of course he would. And he said, to be in a position where you're actually challenging and you have a good enough team, as Newcastle did in 95 under Keegan and then later under Sir Bobby Robson as well, would be wonderful.
See, bringing in Keegan there, he's doing that deliberately, because he's sort of saying, look, Keegan wasn't a tactical mastermind, was he? He was just attack, attack, attack. And I can't do that with the players I've got, so give me some decent players. I think it was a good calculated kind of few sentences that said spoke volumes, I think.
I feel so sorry for Brucey, because he's sat there, you know, in the job, is going on, and all he's basically hearing is, I think every press conference or every time it's someone interviews the Newcastle United manager and Bruce turns up, they're like, oh, you're still here. And so it's a bit like, I you know, because Andrei Vyacheslav has reportedly turned down the chance of managing Newcastle should the takeover happen. I mean,
I love that. Just get it out early.
Bruce has still got the job. He's still in there.
Marcus, I imagine that no one's approached Andrei Vyacheslav, but he's just such a sort of grumpy man. He's gone, just let them know, I am not doing that. And obviously, like normally when the chairman gives a vote of confidence to a manager, it spells that, you know, the end is probably near. But we don't really know who the chairman's going to be at Newcastle in the near future. So Brucey's just done it himself. I like that. Yeah. Just, I'll save you the trouble. I'll undermine myself. And then you don't have to be embarrassed about it. Can have a belly rub.
Do you think Ashley's going to go, do you know what? I'd bloody love it if they made me the chairman and the takeover, and I'd like to be a part of it. You know, just nothing changes.
No, I think Mike Ashley is probably thinking, when he's doing the putting together his handover document, he is going to have to think very hard about all the things that happened under his watch that he probably doesn't remember. He probably doesn't even remember Steve Bruce is the manager. There's been no football happening. He's not. And by the way, there will be a mention of Mike Ashley on Monday's show for those listening who look forward to Pete's Film Club. I won't go into detail why, but there will be a mention of him on Monday. He is not at all interested, as Pete's been telling us for years, pretty much since this show has been around. So I would be very surprised if in the handover document Steve Bruce's name is even mentioned. So I'm sorry, Steve, but you're probably going to be treated the same way you treated Wigan and Crystal Palace back in the day. Then was the break.
Lest we forget.
Big digs.
Just because you're a big friendly bear. Oh, did you see? I don't think I've sent it to the group, but there's a beautiful picture going around of Laurent Robert, the ex-Newcastle left winger, of course.
Oh, with a cigar on the go.
Cigar on the go, backyard, camouflage T-shirt, glass of what very much looks like Hennessy. He looks like the greatest man in the universe.
Someone's been watching The Last Dance.
He looks flipping great. So hunt that out if you can. Maybe I'll give it a tweet from the Ramble account. Wow, I just want to be Laurent Robert smoking on a big cigar in my big backyard with a glass of brandy on the go. Beautiful.
Pete, if you could go around someone's back garden for a brandy and a cigar, would it be Laurent Robert or Hatem Ben Arfa?
Well, it did. I don't know where I'd get fed at Hatem's house.
Laurent Robert will be in Reunion Island, so that'd be better, I reckon.
Yeah, it would be a hell of a. It would have to be a private jet, wouldn't it? That's not a direct flight by anyone's stretch of the imagination.
Is that the only way you travel these days, Pete?
Yeah, well, you know, I like to stretch out. I'm so tall.
That's how he justifies it, Luke. It's a direct flight, but I can get an even more direct flight. So yeah, I have to.
I don't think that the kind of private jet travel is that good because you have to sit in a car for ages to drive to some weird kind of airport out in the sticks. So you're in a car for ages, and I prefer to take the train.
No, Pete, that is entirely dependent on where you live and where the airport in question is. You know that. It's a variable.
No, but it isn't though, because the kind of airports that allow private travel are like it's a Biggin's Hill, those kind of airports. And so they're not on like the main artery. It'd be easier to get to Luton, I reckon. So I always think when I see somebody getting off a private jet like Jay-Z or Kid Rock, I always think, you've had to sit in a car for about an hour and a half to get there, mate. So,
yeah, but Pete, Biggin Hill is about 25-minute drive from my house. So, again, it's a variable.
I don't live in your house.
Yeah, but I do, and that's the point.
So, Pete, are you like a private plane spotter? Because Jay-Z and Kid Rock is suspicious to me. They're so strange.
He's just looking for his notepad.
Specific examples, yeah.
They're my last two. They're my last two spots. They have not been hunkering down at all.
Oh, watch this space. Have you seen the FC Seoul update? They've been given a record fine of £67,000 for their sex doll stunt.
Why didn't they go 69?
I do.
that seems deliberate.
I think it's an exchange rate thing, isn't it?
It's an exchange rate thing.
Yeah. So it's our fault. It's the pound's weak performance then.
Yes.
It is 69. Yeah. But
did you see that they might also be kicked out of this stadium?
Oh, blimey.
It could get this bad.
Well, they just have to play in the street.
Yeah, presumably, which would be far worse. Yeah. I mean, to be fair to them, they were incredibly naive because the sex doll company had adverts for their own sex dolls on the sex dolls. Surely, at that point, alarm bells should ring.
Well, exactly, Jim, because the K-League rules state inappropriate or sexual advertisements are not permitted in the league. Now, the league did recognise that FC Seoul didn't intentionally order a load of sex or love dolls, as Pete calls them, but did note that they should have realised what they've done before putting them in the stands. So, an intriguing.
I went to a Seoul-based and indeed located sex museum when I was in Korea. It was absolutely tawdry as hell.
Tawdry.
What did you expect?
Not what you expect from a sex museum.
It was really low rent. It was just naughty paintings. It's like when you go, I think I said it before, when you're a kid and you go to like Belgium or Holland on a school trip and you go to a joke shop and then you turn a corner and suddenly there's sex toys everywhere and you're like, oh my God, where am I? Pete, what am I doing? Help.
Is this the place you took the picture that you sent me of you sat on a toilet and the toilet was in the shape of a man with a big erection?
That would be the Seoul Sex Museum, yes.
Yeah. So we know that you also went to the Penis Museum in Iceland. Like, what's the best fruity museum that you visited, Pete?
I mean, I think the Penis Museum is very medical. It's more anatomy. Formaldehyde, yeah. You can buy like bottle openers in the size of in the shape of phalluses. But no, yeah, the Korean Seoul based sex museum was it was full of tourists. It was also connected to an ice museum as well, so you could go two for two. If you fancied it, if you needed cooling down at the end of it,
ice museum.
Jim, the centerpiece of the Icelandic Penis Museum, I don't know if Pete remembers this, is a gigantic whale's penis in formaldehyde, right in the middle, It is genuinely very impressive.
The most impressive one is like the field mouse's one. Because obviously it's absolutely tiny.
I forgot about the little collection.
Remember, absolutely tiny ones. Yeah, but like the problem is, it's not just most of a person's penis is inside the body because it kind of wraps around sort of thing. So like, I didn't mind the penis bit, but you'd have the bit inside your body as well. I just didn't want to see that.
Penises in formaldehyde.
They had one human penis, and the donation notes basically said, guys, I'm 75 years old. When I die, you can have my penis because I've not really used it that much, to be honest. Just a very sweet note, I thought.
Yeah. So the whale one, how big are we talking with the whale
one? Jim.
Yep.
That's enough now.
Yeah. I did not start this.
Yes.
You'd be able to give it a nice hug.
Like, is it bigger or smaller than a human man?
It's about as big as a small man.
Right, as big as a small man. All right.
Yeah.
Right. Now we've had
enjoy.
Okay, sorry. I was premature there, wasn't I?
Yeah. Before we go for a break, gentlemen, you see Yap Stam has been named FC Cincinnati head coach. This was revealed on Twitter with an accompanying photo of a man who looks a bit like Yap Stam.
I thought it was Stormzy.
There's your racism.
The bit that I liked about it is that they've obviously got a protocol here. It was a new coach, me to announce it. Do you want to get the social media assets put together? And rather than just saying to Yapstown's people, oh, could you please just send over some, as Pete would say, some high-res photos of Jap, they just jumped onto Google. That'll do.
Mm. Yeah.
Get it done. Get it off my desk.
I am massively in the on the side of the social media person because I think it is a bit unprofessional to go, have you got any headshots, Yap, for your social posting? Mm. There are enough pictures of Yap Stams out there. The person was not at fault, really, because there was a Getty Images picture of this guy who's not Yap Stam at the football match that Yap Stam was also at, and he was actually labelled as Yap Stam. So it's not really the guy's fault, who's probably not that familiar with the differences between slightly similar-looking bald men.
Yeah, I mean, if you take a step back, most pictures are not of Yap Stam. He's got quite a good likeness, given that.
Yeah.
I, for one, am absolutely stunned that Peter sided with the person that did this.
Yeah, he's like the porno version of Yaps.
There we go.
All right, let's go.
Manchester United,
break.
The porno
break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Are you struggling to find something to watch during lockdown? You've drained Netflix, rewatched all your old favourites, and now you need something new? Well, we're here to help. Join us for Clash of the Titles, the podcast where two movies with something in common go head-to-head in a fight to the death.
Release the Kraken.
Well, not death. We just decide which one is better.
When they do a long shot of the crowd in the ivory tower, it's different to the close-up. And if you look closely, you can see E.T., Mickey Mouse, Chewbacca, Ewoks, and C-3PO.
So when Wolfgang Petersen went to Spielberg, went, yeah, could you maybe re-edit my movie? Steven Spielberg went, yeah. Do you know what I'm probably going to cut out? E-T, mate. I made that. Find your new favourite movie or revisit an old classic with me, Alex Zane, Vicky Crompton and Chris Tilley. New episodes out every Monday and Thursday.
Clash of the Titles is a Stakhanov production.
Welcome back to the Preview Show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Now, what have we got here? It's time for emails straight away with PED.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now PED is reading it out. Well done.
It is time for emails with PTD. Jackson Russell's got in touch. Apparently, Nelly Yoa. Do you remember that guy? This kind of Australian-based soccer fantasist. He's back on the scene and he's doing those cameos. You know, he can get someone to, like a celebrity, to film themselves saying hello for, you know,
what's his rate?
Or birthdays or whatever. $15.
That's too much.
Yeah, he was DMing us for a bit.
Yeah, he was. We could
didn't pay for those, did we?
No, I don't think so. No. So Jackson Russell bought his friend that for $15. James Smith has got in touch. He's in some sort of weird kind of like lockdown Zoom-based quiz situation, like a lot of us. But he wants to basically say that his colleague has managed to secure the services of David May in week one, asking a few questions. Keith Gillespie's. I put an S in a completely different place there. Marcus Bent, Matt Janssen, Lee Clark, Michael Grayton, and Liam Ridgewell, as well as still active players Matt Loughton and Sam Saunders. Has anybody else had celebrities on their Zoom call chat? That's what I don't know. But
that's
also
amazing.
Thanks to Mark Judge for that.
You know, friend of the show, you guys. You know, friend of the show, Jack Dean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jack's Happy Hour. So he was on a he was on a quiz, a Zoom quiz with a couple of his mates, and they set each other a challenge of who could get the most famous person to pop up on the Zoom. And right. Jack said, and he sent me a screenshot of this, so I know it's true. He said, no joke, like halfway through the Zoom chat, Judi Dench turned up.
Class.
Wow. It's an amazing That's flex, cool. that is.
That's hilarious.
That's brilliant.
Amazing. We got one from Joe. Hello, Joe. Afternoon. I got a good laugh about your comments about Bundesliga goal music because my dad was once a member of Rocky Sharp and the Replays, a late 70s doo-wop revival band. Unknown to dad for years, Wolfsburg have adopted their track Ramalama Ding Dong as their official goal music of the club. It's also massive at Spanish weddings. I think I know that song. Ramalama Ding Dong? That's, I mean, obviously yeah, we know the phrase, it? but the song definitely... rankles the old brain holes. My Uncle Robert was the main
rankles
man.
Rankles the brain holes?
Rankles the old brain
it's
holes.
It's not a saying.
No, neither is Ramalama Ding Dong. My Uncle Robert was the main man, Rocky, while my dad, Jan, performed the stage name Johnny Stud. When dad found out, this led to a bizarre situation of being flown over to Germany to perform a karaoke session with the club's stakeholders. Listen out next time Wolfsburg play at home. It's a corker. Cheers, chap. Jaws. Cheers, Jiminy Cricket. Cheers, Japs, Joe. Crying out loud. I'm obsessed with Japs Stam. And finally for now, Christopher Brannigan. Dear Ramblers, I've literally had to put down my strummer in sheer shock mid-stroke, so to speak, as I listened to Monday's show. How did you have a discussion about the league in glorious Scotland being settled without mentioning that Marcus's club, the Gorgie Boys, getting relegated, the little slugs? Yeah. That's all. Cheers, Chris. Anything to say, Marcus Speller?
I think it's a disgrace. It's a big disgrace.
It's a disgrace. Down you go. Off you pop.
Off we pop. Yeah, off I thought pop. Big Budge was gonna sort it out, but clearly not. Dark forces have been at play.
And that's it for the emails. short@footballrambledaily.com if you want to get in touch.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for Time Tunnel.
Yeah, so I'm up this week bringing Time Tunnel along. So I wanted to give you guys a happy memory. So I picked an episode of Time Tunnel that is basically it's the ramble from after England beat Sweden to get through to the semi-final of the World Cup in 2018. I thought I'd take us back to that magical day. It's effectively called Easy. Croatia away England in the semis as Russia bow out with pride. So I figured I'd throw back to a happier time. And I mean, I'm basically still drunk in it, which is referenced many times. I regret nothing. And also, Marcus's voice is quite reedy, where he's clearly been celebrating the night before. I've very much, you know, taken the heat for him on that one. It was just so happy to listen back to it. It was talking about Sterling stretching the play and being generally underrated throughout the tournament. Harry Maguire's seductive first touch is mentioned quite a lot, which seems very out of date now, doesn't it? Henderson's forward passing. And I love these sort of, I love those huge games. Like a knockout tournament game where everything is riding on it seems so much more intense and your focus is so much more intense than on a normal game of football, because every single thing seems part of this narrative tapestry, doesn't it? And that was the match where the Gareth Southgate lookalike was in the stand as well. We spoke about it a lot. Luke rated England's chances against Croatia quite highly, as they're less than the sum of their parts, apparently.
Sorry about that, everyone.
Yeah. There was Chris Waddle crying. We had a little clip of that because he was so moved.
Oh,
Pete ended up doing
that.
Bane impressions through a cup. Can't remember why, even listening to it yesterday. And Gary Neville was still annoyed at goalkeepers for not saving literally every shot. Do you remember that phase?
Yes.
Jim, can I just jump in and say that you told us in advance you're gonna pick this one, and so I set about trying to listen to it, and I actually found it quite emotionally painful to listen to.
I'm worried that might happen.
Just because I'm not, it's not a criticism for you picking it, because I absolutely get it and I think it's a great shout. But for me, it feels like a different universe, and it's
doesn't it?
It's, I mean, none of us here on this show have been the victims of COVID or have had it particularly bad, relatively to lots of other people. But it just made me feel a little bit sad at the situation we're in, and a little bit upset, and how. It, you know, two literally 2 years ago almost, it was amazing, And yeah. So it was a bit poignant, really, for that reason.
Last night walked past the place that I actually watched the Sweden match, and they've got Soho's starting to come to life a little bit. The House of Ill Repute down the road had their doors open. I noticed as I walked past a couple of days ago. But yesterday, where I watched the. Marks and Spencer, Daryl Cardigan, up Berwick Street Market was where I watched it. It was basically like this little Italian kind of restaurant deli sort of place, and they'd pushed all of like the chairs out, and they had a little kind of widescreen telly, really not big enough for everyone to kind of squeeze in. But I think it was Pride that day as well, maybe. And everyone was having a bloody lovely time. And I think we're on the way to watch The Cure play as well. So we watched Sweden play, got palatically drunk and really enjoyed ourselves, and then headed towards to go and watch Cure. I think that's how the memory worked. But when I walked past that place yesterday, they're starting to sort of come back, and they've sort of set chairs out, not in a not dissimilar manner. Like, they're all kind of like socially distanced and stuff, so people are just having beers and just having a lovely old time. So yeah. It's coming back, guys. It won't be long, guys. Don't worry.
It won't be long. Yeah, I thought about the semi-final defeat in this pod, Jim. So it didn't bring back brilliant memories. But I was. Do you know who got man of the match for England in that win against Sweden? Do you remember?
Was it Jordan Pickford?
It was Jordan Pickford.
Mm. Huh.
Jordy Pickford. Amazing. Yeah, he made a couple of good saves at a crucial moment in the match. But I remember Sweden trying to give a bit of chat to England before the match, which is quite unswedish, like saying that England were going to underestimate us. Why? You're really good. Oh, we won't underestimate you then. There was a bit of hubris. They were saying that the England players were all a bit fancy and they're not proper players. So they're all flashy and all this kind of stuff, big time Charlies and whatnot. And they really, really tried to kind of get in England's heads. But of course, trying to get into Slabhead's head is rather difficult, and even powered in that first goal.
And it's also difficult to get into Vardy's head for obvious reasons.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But what I was going to say is that it's fascinating you say that about Pickford and about your memories of that, Marcus, because if before I listened to a bit of this and before I was asked to think about it again for the show, if someone had said to me, what are your memories of the Sweden game? And possibly wrongly, I would just say, oh, it was pretty straightforward. You know, it was a fairly straightforward win. And really the games that stick out for me are the Colombia game before that, for obvious reasons, yeah. And then the semi-final. To me, the Sweden game is, in my mind, a bit of a non-entity. Are you saying that is probably erroneous then, that I've misremembered that?
No, I don't. I think you're right. I think it was a reasonably comfortable victory, but there was a couple of moments where Pickford was called upon, and it wasn't a glare. I don't think they were, in my mind's eye, a glaring opportunity Sweden missed, but he needed to make a couple of decent saves. Certainly at one, I think it was at 1-0 and maybe 2-0. But I think that there was just no particular standout performer on the pitch for England. I think everybody sort of did their jobs. And it was a kind of 6 or 7 out of 10 kind of performance for a lot of them. So I just think with Pickford, he was just very competent, and that's maybe why he got given man of the match. So yeah,
it does make me sort of think. I mean, we were gutted that obviously Croatia went through rather than Russia, and that would prove to be our downfall as possibly predicted. But do you remember like Fedor Smolov with his Panenka? In the spot kicks. I was like,
yes.
Oh man, if he hadn't absolutely pooed his pants on that one, we could have been playing Russia and we probably would have had a better time. I mean, we were absolutely living on borrowed time with the squad that they had, because they were absolutely exhausted.
I think, our players were pretty tired, eh? But Pete, the Russia thing is a great shout, because I when I listened back to this and I saw the title of the episode, and as Jim's alluded to, like, I know this is a cliche, but it's, for me, as a big fan of tournament football, as I'm sure we all are, it is really important that the host team do well. And Russia really did set the tone, didn't they? I mean, for them, if you're speaking about, I know they started the tournament and everything, but if you're speaking about them in the knockout stage, them beating Spain was massive. It was possibly outside of an England context, the most exciting game I can remember at the Luzhniki, where they beat them on penalties. And Russia did pretty well in that game, didn't they?
Yeah, that was a weird game, wasn't it? Because Spain almost played like a parody of Spain, to the point where what they were doing was so ineffective, it was almost funny. It was like they'd forgotten the point of football.
Yeah, like Arsenal in the later years under Wenger.
Yeah.
That dig.
Yeah, but it's not an unreasonable one, is it?
Mm. Anyway, that was a great. It was a great on one level to reminisce. the fact that it got me, the really thing that really got me is that I was thinking that we should really be building up towards a tournament now. I mean, this weekend, I think this weekend would be the FA Cup final and would be the the playoff finals as well. So or one of those two. It's certainly one of the business end weekends of the season we should be experiencing this weekend, and obviously we're not going to be, and then it would have been a big build up to the Euros. So look, it's bittersweet, shall we say.
Yeah. My thinking behind it was that, you know, we're going to have to wait for this to happen again, but it will happen again. And when it happens again, it will be glorious, because tournament football is. And it's, you know, that's, it will be back in some capacity at some point, and it's going to be wonderful. And we'll get there. We'll get through it.
I just want to see another Sweden 1, Switzerland 0 game in the second phase. That's what I want to see.
Well, Russia won't be playing in Qatar, so they won't get another crack at it, which is sad. But, you know, these things happen, don't they?
Very sad, Peter. Very sad. All right. Let's wipe our tears away and bring a smile, because it's now time for the Masked Winger.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Winger!
Yes, it's time for the Masked Winger. I would like to thank the gloriously titled Ben Wardropper. He's dropping the war on us.
Wow.
What a name.
Isn't it? What a name. are you ready for your clues for the Masked Winger?
Yep.
I need more time.
Cool.
Okay, right, I'm ready now.
Right, first clue. I was born on the 22nd of April, 1979.
Stop. Is it Michael Carrick?
It's not Michael Carrick.
I usually guess for Michael Carrick.
Wouldn't have counted because you didn't say your name.
Mm. Marcus, Jim. Is it Michael Carrick?
Go on, Jim.
Is it Rufus Brevitt?
It's not Rufus Brevitt, no. He must be older than that, surely.
I'll tell you something now. I've kept pretty quiet up to now, but if you are going to submit a player for the Masked Winger and you were going to do Rufus Brevitt, you can fuck off.
We've had worse.
I like it. We've not had Rule Fox yet. Although not a striker,
Luke,
I'm the highest...
Rule Fox.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Rule Fox, no.
I just wanted to see if that was a bluff.
Yeah. Although not a striker, I am the highest scoring Premier League player from my country.
Hmm.
In 2005...
Oh, sorry. That was poor of me. I'd already had a guess that round. No, I'd already had a guess round. Sorry.
It's the next clue. It's
the next clue, mate. You're fine.
Oh, do I have to go or can I withdraw my...
No, you did it now.
No, you've got to go.
Paolo Onechop.
It's not Paolo Onechop.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't because he was a striker. Anyway, carry on,
In 2005, I rather bizarrely featured in an advert for Pepsi for the 2006 World Cup, alongside people like Terry Henry, David Beckham, Roberto Carlos, Ronaldinho,
Luke.
And Nicholas Bentner. Luke.
Is it Zoltan Gera?
Luke, you are right. It is Zoltan Gera. Congratulations.
Really great show.
Well played.
Done.
Fantastic stuff. Yes.
Oh,
my first
man.
Name rather poetically means life in Hungarian, and my whole name is, rather excitingly, an anagram of Lego Tarzan.
That's great. So the reason I know that, and you guys, Marcus particularly, will remember this. I went to Budapest around that time, perhaps maybe
Budapest, man.
A little bit after that. And I honestly remember saying to you guys, it was just after we started doing the ramble, that I'd been to Budapest and Zoltan Gera was absolutely everywhere.
Yeah.
He was like David Beckham of Hungary.
Yeah.
It's like is it Vincent Wanyama in his home country? Like, he's on everything.
In Kenya.
Yeah. When I went down there.
Well, but Solano in Peru.
That's true, yeah. But he can't get away with anything, that bloke. He got arrested recently, didn't he?
I mean, I tell you what, since we've done lockdown, I'm in great form on the Masked Winger. So I haven't got you guys sort of mind games. Marcus is a little competitive shit, and if he's not in my eyesight, I'll feel much more relaxed.
Yeah, Marcus has got a little switchblade he threatens Luke with. It's really
Zoltan Gera scored a goal which He's got the winning. He scored the winning goal against Hamburg in the semi-final of the Europa League. Very few goals have I celebrated as much as that one. Mm. He's a delightful player for Fulham at times.
He scored against Portugal in the was it the World Cup as well, or was it the Euros?
Euros.
One of them.
Euros.
2016.
Marcus, part two of Danny Murphy Ramble Meets next Wednesday is a lot of it is about his Fulham stuff.
Beautiful, beautiful. He's a great player. You'll enjoy it, Murphy. I will.
Have a listen Wednesday.
I bloody well will. But before that, well, I've got to sit through Goal 3, Taking on the World. Just a little reminder that we're watching that for Pete's Film Club.
Oh, I've already watched it. It is fucking dreadful. Yeah.
But tomorrow, everybody, little nugget for you here on Greatest Games, Jonathan Wilson and I. I've got Clive Tilsley talking about that night in Barcelona.
Love
Manchester United 2, Bayern 1. It'll be nearly 21 years to the day, Jim Campbell, when Manchester United secured that treble. And Big Clive was there in all his and their glory. And he said, professionally, it could have been the most important night of his career, let alone those Manchester United players.
I've already earmarked it for tomorrow morning's run.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Very much so. Very much so, everybody. Well, thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway on Football Ramble Daily. As I say, Jonathan and I are back tomorrow with the Greatest Games. Do check that out. We're back on Monday for more of this nonsense. But until then, say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Yeah, don't forget there's an At The Match episode on Sunday as well. Lots to get stuck into on Football Ramble Daily. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, PED.
See you in Second Life.
It's goodbye from me, everybody.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.